Turn in your Bibles with me, please. I hope you got your scriptures ready. And we started out on a teaching Wednesday night on joy, how serious being joyful is. And if you go to Psalm 127, verses 1 to 6, welcome everybody that's watching online, wherever you are, God bless you. Psalm 27, 1 to 6, and we're talking about the purpose of joy. Why should we be joyful? It's time to be joyful, and because this is a good day to be living, and God's blessings are real, every one of them, and every promise God made in your life will not fail. Amen. So Psalm 27, verse 1 to 6, reading verse 6 first. And now shall mine enemies be lifted up above my... Or at least, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer up in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praise unto the Lord. What I want to get across to you this morning is that practicing being joyful is a more serious matter than just being, you know, considerate or just being, I guess, considerate of God. But you want to be able to practice joy, being joyful every day. I can see you're all joyful this morning. I don't know what happened in your life today, but I think everybody here needs to be joyful about life and about the promises of God. God has promised every one of us good things. And we should anticipate something is about to happen in your life. You know, lots of people, something bad's going to happen. Something horrible is going to happen to me. What if I fail? What if the devil kills me, finally? Well, I've got news for you. Every one of us is going to die someday. But until then, we can just thank God. Even death, the Bible says, even death is, there's victory in death for us because we're not going to die forever. Amen? We're going to live forever. We have new life in us. We have God's life in us. We have eternal life in us. You know, just expiring... In this time, dying in this time is like just a hop, skip, and a jump over to something new. So joy, practicing joy is very serious. Being joyful is more serious than you think it is, because if you knew what was going to happen to you, you'd be joyful right now. Amen? You'd be really joyful. Now, let's go back to our verse of Scripture here. It says Psalm 27, verse 6. Now shall, the word shall is future tense. Notice that. Those of you that are going to be teachers, you got to know that. Shall is future tense. Shall my enemy, or shall my head be lifted above my enemies? In other words, I'm going to rise higher than what is against me. Everything that's against me, I'm going to be rising higher. If you're struggling with whatever it is, you're going to rise higher than that. And it says here, the reason why he offers sacrifice of joy is because he's going to be lifted up above all his enemies. He says, therefore, will I offer in his tabernacles sacrifices of joy. I mean, not just one time, but he's going to start continually offering sacrifices of joy. That means, you know, sometimes he's going to have to make himself think about the good things. You know, they tell you sometimes you should think about the good things in life. Think about all the wonderful things. You know, just think about right now. If you are born again, or if you've been a Christian for some time, think about, you know, where God brought you. How many of you can actually be grateful this morning that God brought you to this part of your life right now? And you're happy that your past is gone, amen? And you can anticipate better things ahead. Good things are going to happen to you. And so this is why we can offer sacrifice of joy. In fact, you know, sacrifice of joy means that you're going to put one on. You're going to make yourself get joyful. You're going to make yourself smile when you don't want to smile. You're going to smile and just go on in life like, you know, nothing's happened, but everything good is going to happen to you. He said, I will sing, yeah, I will sing praises unto the Lord. You know, when people are happy, they have a smile on their face. Amen? When you're happy, a song of joy comes out of you. A song comes out of you. When you're happy, praises come out of you. You ever been happy with somebody? You ever been mad at somebody? What comes out when you're mad at somebody? Think about what happens when you're happy with somebody. I mean, you know, you just looked at the screens there a moment ago and all the achievements that people have, and you begin to praise God. But also, these graduates that are graduating, you know, they're marking, you know, from grade 8 to going to high school, or from elementary going on to junior high school, and from high school people going to college or university. They're thinking about something good's going to happen. Amen? Something good is going to happen. You're going on to a higher level of education and more opportunities. So, you know, it's important that you begin to practice being joyful. Practice smiling when you don't want to. Eh? You know, you have to, they tell us, you know, in ministry, you have to smile when you don't want to. You know, act like you're happy all the time, you know. And so you have to smile. And in certain jobs, you have to be able to do that. You can't walk around long face and, you know. So being joyful is not some just emotional experience that you get after something, a great moment in life, but it's a way of life for us believers. We must practice being joyful just because the Bible is true. We must practice being joyful because God is good. And everything about you is good because God has created some great things for you in the future. The psalmist, you know, he says, God's way is perfect. In Psalm 22:31, the good news says, God's way is perfect. The promises of the Lord has proven to be true. Well, if God's promises are true, then we ought to start jumping and laughing, because you get that promise and begin to meditate on it for a little while. Once you start meditating on it for a little while, you know something's about to happen, because it's going to happen just the way the Bible says. You can figure out your future by reading the Bible. You can figure out the end by reading the Bible, the outcome of your life. When you start reading the Bible, that's why a lot of sad people are around, because they don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't know what's going to happen when they die. They don't know what happens when they die. They don't know all these things. They don't know about heaven. So if you knew about those things, you'd be joyful. You wouldn't be afraid of dying. And if anything bad happens, you know that's going to turn out good for you. For instance, you know, I think about Romans chapter 8, you know. It says all things, what is that way it goes? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are to call according to His purpose. All things work together for good to those who love God. In other words, loving God doesn't mean just because, oh, I love God. You know, I have an emotional affection for God. That's not what it's talking about. It means because you love God, loving God means you're obeying God. You're walking in His promises. You're doing what He said to do. You're reading the Scripture and you know you'll follow His plan, your purposes. If you're like that, everything's going to work out just fine for you. Because when you walk with God, things will work out for you. So when you say, you know, all things work for good for those who love God, well, I love God. Well, it means more than just having an emotional affection towards God and what He's done. It means obeying Him. It means walking in His promises, doing what He said. So, if all His promises are true, you're going to be practicing joy. So, what is joy? We talked about joy. Joy is a delight or a sense of happiness, that something exceptional is about to happen. And it's also a display or an expression of something anticipating something in the future. It means to rejoice. Joy means to rejoice. You know, when you rejoice, Rejoicing is, it's a verb, of course, to rejoice. It means, you know, something happened. When you see people rejoicing, what does it look like? Huh? You just sit there like this? Yeah. When somebody rejoices, you know, they're happy. Woo-hoo! You know, and just making a lot of noise, dancing and clapping and maybe running and just shouting and stuff when somebody is practicing joy. That's how Sunday morning should be. Because Sunday morning, or when we come to worship together, you're going to practice. You're going to do that because you're thinking about the wonderful things about God. You're not just waiting for the band to stir you up. The music singer, we don't have to tell you, come on, people, lift your hands, you know. Come on, what's wrong with you? No, you should be able to come in. You're going to come in, and you're going to rejoice with the people. Just because God is good. Just because He's wonderful. Now, you might not feel, especially Sunday morning, if you had a long night, like some of you had last night. You had a long night last night. Yeah, you might not feel like praising God. Because your body ain't ready for it. You know, whatever happened last night, happened last night. If you slept in this morning and you wanted to sleep some more, but your body does not want to go, it wants to just, relax a little bit. Let's just relax. Let's listen to the pastor, see what he's got. If he's got something to say, you know, well, thank God. He might say something. No, you got to be able to sit there and say, hey, I'm going to get a word from God this morning. I come to church. I washed my face this morning for no reason than to hear from God this morning. Amen. Hey, brush my teeth. And you're sitting in your services and you're thinking about, you know, I'm going to come here and I'm going to just anticipate God's going to speak to me. So you're going to rejoice because of that. So you don't have to wait for something to happen as a believer, but you can act like God's Bible, the Word of God is true. So we talked about David last time. David, you know, he practiced joy, being joyful. And because he learned to demonstrate joy in God. Begin to praise God all the time. He said, morning, noon, and night, I'll praise the Lord. You know, sometimes in the nighttime, I just go ahead and give God praise when I wake up in the middle of nighttime. Whenever I get up at night, I go to the washroom or drink some water and look out the window, maybe 5 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning, and I think about God's goodness. I've been practicing that for years and thanking God. And I could be anywhere else. I could be somewhere else. I'm here now. I'm enjoying life. I don't have anybody coming after me. I don't have any bills coming unexpectedly. The cops are not looking for me this morning. people are not trying to find me because I owe them money. And so, thank God. I'm happy just because of small little things. So, practicing joy is important. You know, practicing joy will make you strong. It'll make you strong in life. It'll get you through the hard times in life. And if you're already low, and things keep happening, bad things keep happening, you keep going lower and lower and lower, there's a time where you have to stop and start saying, wait a minute, something's wrong here. I need to turn this thing around. The devil's trying to get at me, but he ain't getting me. I already got victory over him. Because Jesus, got the victory for me. Hallelujah. Are you still here or you gone home? Okay. All right. So James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 says, my brothers and sisters, be very happy. That's the God's Word translation. Everybody say, be very happy. That's what James says. Dr. James says, be very happy. You know, there's a song a few years ago called Be Happy. Be happy. I don't know how it goes, but it goes over to that back and forth. See, even the world is telling you to be happy. Be happy, everybody. If I said, everybody be happy, just demonstrate. You know? Everybody, yeah. It's too early, sister. It's too early. I haven't had my coffee yet. Leave me alone. So, it says, my brothers and sisters, look, notice this. Be happy. Look at this, the next thing. When you're tested in different ways. How many of you have been tested this week? By something, eh? You've been challenged somewhere along the line? You know, you're... Your serenity has been challenged. some way or another that you shouldn't be happy. What are you laughing about? You shouldn't be happy, the devil tells you. I'm going to kill you. I've been saying that for years. I'm getting you. I'm getting you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Boo! The devil, he tries to do that lots, right? I don't know. I used to be afraid he's under my bed for many, many years. Then I actually looked on there. He actually was down there. Had to get him out. Then he tried to get in my back seat and talk to me. So, you know that each testing, you know that such testing of your faith produces endurance. You know that testing of your faith means, you know, everything you believe about life will be tested. Everything you believe about God will be tested. You believe in tithing? Well, here you go, you know. You believe in healing? Well, here you go, boom, big eye, you know. Everything will be tested. You believe in testing? You know, your relationships are going to be tested. You and your wife are going to start fighting right after the service. Amen. You're lucky you're not married yet. You're going to get married sooner or later, praise God. Amen. But I know you guys get married sometime in the future, praise God. So I'll be talking to you right after this. So your faith is going to be tested. Let's face it, you know, and that's why you need to practice being joyful. You have to be joyful. How does it look like when somebody is joyful? Let me see those faces and smiles. Let me see your teeth. Or some of them. Then he says, is that your real teeth? I said, sure is. I paid for every one of them. They're mine. So how does it happen? How does it sound when everybody's joyful? How does it sound when someone's joyful? Huh? So how does it look? When somebody is joyful, let me see how it looks when somebody is joyful. See, you don't demonstrate nothing. You ever get up and twist or something when something's happened? I say, everybody get up and twist for a second. Come on, everybody get up. Everybody get up and just do this really slow. And then you move really faster. Move really faster. And maybe kick your leg up once in a while. Woo-hoo! Yeah. So, okay, let's not get too excited. See, that's how it is. Go ahead. Don't get too excited, Ms. Pearson. Okay, so that's how it is when you're happy. You know, if you're at a hockey game or baseball game, basketball, whatever, you get excited. You don't just sit there. I went to a hockey game, you know. And then what if all the fans just sat there just... There's a goal. Yeah, okay. That's not the way to act. That's the way some people act about God, yeah? You're preaching in church Sunday morning, say something good, then just go. You know? We need to get excited about God. Get excited about the promises of God. Can you do that in the future? Get excited about the promises of God? And so give a fist pump when you're driving, praise God, you know? Well, just don't do that when somebody's looking at you. You might get into a fight. So this guy, he says, now shall my head be lifted above my enemies. Well, that's a good feeling when you're having victory, right? Therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. So it's good to practice singing a song of joy. Now, everybody can do that. The Bible tells every one of us to sing. One of our teachers at Bible school told us, Everybody should sing. Anybody can sing. Even if you can hold a tune, it's nice to God. My neighbor might not like it, but you go ahead and sing. Everybody should sing, but not everybody should record. That's what he said to us. So, you know, thank God we can all sing songs. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise through him, which is the fruit of our lips that confess his name. So that means you take your lips and you form words of thankfulness unto God. And it's a sacrifice of joy to say something good when everything bad is happening to you. And if you're used to not being joyful, it's difficult for a while. It's going to feel like this is not normal. So you have to be able to do it. Your body doesn't want to do things. Your mind doesn't want to do things sometimes. That's why you have to take a hold of your mind. People say, well, I can't, you know, like they have trouble with their emotions. The reason why you have trouble with your emotions is because you've allowed your emotions to take you in your mind or whatever, take you to places where you don't want to go. You have to be able to take a hold of your mind. That's what the Bible says, you know, taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have to take the thought. And say, no, I'm not going to think that way. But I'll tell you how I'm going to think. I'm going to think in line with the Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, he says, Hebrews 13:15 says, we offer the sacrifices of joy. So we have to be able to praise God even when we don't want to. I'm saying that praising God, being joyful, rejoicing is serious business with God. Because when you learn to do this, you know, first of all, if you don't learn to do this, you're going to continually be the way you are, or the way you have been, or the way things have been in the past. So when we begin to praise God, things will change in your life. If you look at this, I want to ask you to study this. Go to the Bible and see wherever when Israel got into all kinds of trouble, when they had enemies against them. They had, you know, whatever struggles they had. What did they do? They began to go to God, begin to praise Him, and they told God, here's what you said in your word, God. You said when famine comes, we'll have plenty to eat. In fact, I found scriptures that says that even in hard times and drought and famine, God says the people of God will have plenty. You'll be prospering when everybody else is not. When we learn to praise God. And so it says when the enemies that are stronger than you come against you, the Bible says they were begin to praise God because the enemies were coming against them. He says, God, you said in your word, you read this in Chronicles and other scriptures, God, when you said when the enemies come against us, if we worship you in this temple and praise God and praise you, worship you, you said we will win over our enemy. So they went, and so after they prayed all that prayer, reminded God about His promises, then they begin to shout unto God. Begin to praise God, lifted up their voices and shout unto Him. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, praise God! Oh, hallelujah. They were not just saying that just to make noise, just to make form words. They were saying that based on the Scripture. So you and I have that opportunity, the same opportunity, because now we have a better covenant because Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And we can get up and start praising God because He said in His Word that He'd give you victory. In fact, He already told you have victory. I don't know if you remind yourself because you already have victory. Jesus brought you on the other side. So, you know, when we live in this world, we're going to have challenges. It's not if you're going to have challenges, it's when you're going to have challenges. How many of you know you might have gone through a financial situation and you come out of it? How many people know there's going to be more financial situations ahead of you? There'll be more challenges ahead of you, so you got to learn how to do this. Yeah, you had trouble with your relationships, and you got through a lot of mess, but as you go along, you're going to have more and more challenges. If you get over one, you could have another one. Maybe somebody doesn't like you at work. Maybe somebody is trying to sabotage your work and whatever it is. You're going to have to learn how to get over these things and learn that God will help you every single time, praise God. He did it once, He'll do it again. He'll do it another time, and He'll do it again. He'll do it again, and He'll do it again. He'll do it again, and He'll do it again. That's how you work, that's how it works. You say, oh, God's done with me. He did it once, three times already. I'm sure He's not going to do it again. That's how people think. No, God promises every time. Everybody say every time.
Every time.
You know, the psalmist says, let's go look at that scripture one more time because everybody say He'll do it again. So He'll do it again and again and again. And He'll never get tired of getting you out of trouble. Or, you know, in fact, you're the one that got yourself in trouble. because you made bad, wrong choices. You know, when you make wrong choices, I'm not trying to be funny. I can't even talk. Sometimes it happens. It's the anointing of God or stupidity. Either one, I don't know what it is. But it feels good. You go ahead and try this. You know, bitty. I think it's about to, we got to close up here, man. Time's running away from us. I'm going to finish in about 3 minutes. Okay. You got 3 minutes to put up with me still. Okay. Let's go to Psalm 27 again. I'm telling you, joy is serious business. The purpose of joy is to get you out of the trouble, the mess you're in. Okay? Let's go to Psalm 27, verse 6 again. Now shall my enemies be lifted up above... my head be lifted above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifice of joy. You know, it's important, like I mentioned, that we continue to practice being joyful in life. It's so easy to give in, of all the things that's happening. You know, this COVID thing took a lot of people for a real twist here. In fact, when we were at a place here at church where everything is going well, people were coming back to work to church, and buildings being filled, newcomers are coming in, people getting saved. And this how happened, that they shut her down right when the things happened. You know, Pastor Ken was telling us, people, you know, bring their offerings, even when they're not here. I said, we would just shut her down like this, you can continue on financially. Because people bring their money in. Listen, don't stop giving. We've had other people who've called in. Thank God. I'm believing God for more partners for our television ministry. To go across, I had a guy the other day. It was a kind of a funny call from somewhere down east. And they told you know, he said, I want to meet that fellow. He's pretty good, that guy. He's talking about me, right? And on television. And so I'm going to actually phone this guy and ask someone to translate what he's saying to me, because I couldn't hardly understand him. So he lives way down the other side of the country. And so thank God for partners like that, or friends like that, that want to be, you know, they're getting the program, they watch the television program, and they get something out of it. You know, so thank God for friends. So we need to pray, continue to believe God, and start just laugh about it, that God will send more people to help us over. So, we're going to continue to praise God and give Him thanks. He says in there, Psalm chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, but let all those that who put their trust in Thee or in God rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. You know, we need to shout for joy because something good's happening. When you start shouting for joy, something is happening in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up, everybody. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your goodness, for your mercy. We spend these few minutes talking about joy, that we will practice joy, the joy of salvation. Father God, what our salvation means to us, we thank you that we are born again, we're saved. We thank you for the people that are here this morning and all the families that are here. And I want you to think for one moment, people, the things that God has done in your life. Remember the hard times and how God brought you out of the hard times. He's done it once. He's going to do it again. I was talking to somebody the other day. The doctor said they had cancer. And had to go through a real testing time of cancer. And I remember praying in agreement and say, what are you going to believe? I learned this from a man of God that I trust. What can you believe about how to get healed? He said, I believe that if I get this operation, this procedure done, that this cancer will will be gone. I believe God will help the surgeon take it all out. Okay, let's agree on this right now and pray. And that person is able to recover out of the cancer. There's no cancer now in there. It's gone. The Lord successfully went in there according to your faith, according to what you can believe. I believe today that we can thank God for His goodness. Can you lift your hands and begin to say, thank God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy in my life. Thank you how you brought me through hard times. And I'm thanking you in advance that what I'm going through right now, I'm coming to the other side, and we won't have to have those situations happening anymore. I want to thank you. And those of you that are watching online, you begin to thank God too, because wherever you are, God is Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God, the very present help in a time of trouble. Thank you, Lord. This morning I was praying for our country. I was praying for our premier, our prime minister, our mayor, praying for the city, asking God and thanking God that good things are going to happen. May the will of God be done in our city, in our province, and in throughout Canada. May God's will be done. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. If some of you are saying you need to go and line up again, God bless you. Have a wonderful day.